ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hello and welcome to PM. I'm Samantha Donovan, coming to you from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation in Melbourne. This evening, our program is dedicated to bringing you all the latest developments after yesterday's shocking attack on a gathering of the Jewish community at one of Australia's best loved spots, Bondi Beach. The death toll now stands at 15 innocent people, ranging in age from 10 years to 87. We understand that 38 people remain in hospital, including two police officers, and the heroic Sydney man, Ahmed El Ahmed, who disarmed one of the gunmen and was hit by gunfire soon afterwards. One of the gunmen was shot dead by police. His accomplice, his son, is said to be in a stable condition in hospital and expected to face charges. The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, has visited the scene at Bondi today and indicated Australia's gun laws will be toughened up in the wake of this tragedy. Our reporter, Alison Shaw, is at Bondi Beach.
It's been a really difficult day for the people who have come to Bondi Pavilion to gather, to pay their respects. This pavilion is so often visited by many Australians, and it's near where the attack took place, and there have probably been hundreds who have come here throughout the day to pay tribute to the lives lost, to lay flowers, to lend their support to the Jewish community and to gather with friends and neighbours and really share in the pain that people right across the country are all feeling. It's quite a windy day. It's quite overcast at the moment this afternoon, but people have come and there's a lot of tears and devastation playing on people's faces, people hugging each other and just leaning on each other at this difficult time. Nearby, there's also been a stall that's been set up for Jewish prayers. They're giving out donuts and a poster hanging of the rabbi that was killed in this attack, Rabbi Eli Schlanger. And they're holding prayers here for the Jewish community until sundown. And there's also people here who have been draped in Australian flags, in Israeli flags, and some of those flags have been pinned to the gates of the pavilion as well. But here, as people gather at this grassy patch, a lot of that grassy area between the road and the sand is still an active crime scene, and a large part of the main road, Campbell Parade, is still closed to cars. And there's obviously a lot of detectives here around the Bondi area, a lot of police officers here as the investigation unfolds.
Alison, I know you've been speaking to a lot of people. Who are they and what have they been telling you?
Well, Sam, there's such a huge range of people who have come today. There's people who are young, people who are old, there are kids, people with their parents, there are elderly people. I mean, it's a real mix of Australians, and there's obviously a large contingent of the Jewish community who are here, who are really devastated. And there have been so many people here who've been sharing their stories of what they saw and how they're feeling. Many of the people who have gathered were also here last night. Some of them ran for their lives and are retelling their stories. They're still in shock. And others are locals who heard gunshots from their homes and say they were terrified and just can't believe that this has happened so close to where they live. This is an iconic place in Australia. I mean, Bondi Beach represents us across the world. It's a spot that means so much to Sydneysiders, and Prime Minister Anthony Albanese also mentioned this, saying he was reminded of this, the beach's iconic status when he came to visit the scene to lay flowers this morning, and he said it was a real shock that this is the venue for where this horrific attack happened. There's so much sadness in people's voices, but there's also some resilience and hope that the community will come together. And I asked some of them why they came here today.
To give respect. We are Jewish. And to respect all the people who died yesterday and got injured. And to be part of the community, to be part of what's going on here in this country, which is very sad.
A Holocaust survivor is murdered in a place of refuge in Australia. A Holocaust survivor, where 6 million Jewish people and 1.25 million children were murdered in Europe.
And a child, 10 years old.
A child that came to celebrate Hanukkah.
To celebrate.
And celebrate also the freedom that her family experienced here.
Because I grew up in this area, and this is my home, and I just, I want the community to know that we're with them.
My life is a gift now, because next to me there was somebody, the woman was with blood, and the other one was, and I saw blood on the floor. I was running next to the car park there. And the shooting was like a shoot forever.
People at Bondi Beach speaking to our reporter Alison Shaw this afternoon. As I mentioned, the death toll from the terrorist attacks stands at 16 this evening, including one of the attackers, and the massive task of investigating how the attack unfolded is now underway. Alexandra Humphreys filed this report.
Chaos erupted last night at Sydney's Bondi Beach as gunmen opened fire. Father and son Naveed Akram and Sajid Akram allegedly targeting a Jewish celebration of Hanukkah in what's now been declared a terrorist attack. The older man is dead. His 24-year-old son is in hospital. New South Wales Police Commissioner Mal Lanyon confirming Naveed Akram is expected to face the justice system.
We do have a 24-year-old male in hospital at the moment. Based on his medical condition, it is likely that that person may face criminal charges.
It's been revealed the surviving gunman Naveed Akram was examined 6 years ago by Australia's domestic intelligence agency ASIO over his close ties to a Sydney-based Islamic State terrorism cell.
We are very much working through the background of both persons. At this stage, we know very little about them.
Police Commissioner Mal Lanyon also confirming Sajid Akram was licensed to own the long-arm weapons that inflicted so much devastation. He had held his firearms license for a decade.
He was a member of a gun club and was entitled, by nature of the Firearms Act, to have a firearms license issued.
Questions have also been raised about whether security for the Hanukkah event was adequate.
In terms of the risk assessment, we certainly work closely with the Jewish community. I've made it really clear that there was no specific intelligence in relation to the incident itself. We responded very promptly.
Amid the sadness, Australians have been captivated by the bravery of one man during the attack. Local father Ahmed Al-Ahmed was hiding behind a car before creeping up and then launching himself at the shooter from behind and grabbing his firearm. Ahmed Al-Ahmed was then shot and is now in hospital. His mother Malika has spoken of her pride over her son's heroic actions.
I'm proud that my son was helping people. He saved lives, souls. God would not harm him because he was a do-gooder. My son has always been brave, helps people. He's like that. He saw they were dying and people were losing their lives. And when that guy ran out of ammo, he took it from him, but he was hit. We pray that God saves him.
His father is Muhammad Fateh Al-Ahmed.
My son is a hero. He served with the police and in the central security forces. And he has the impulse to protect people. When he saw people lying on the ground and the blood everywhere, immediately, his conscience and his soul compelled him to pounce on one of the terrorists and to rid him of his weapon. At the same moment, the armed man's other friend was on the bridge, or whoever he is. I feel pride and honour because my son is a hero of Australia.
Details have begun to emerge about those killed. The youngest victim has been identified as 10-year-old Matilda, whose family described her as just a happy kid and a friendly child who loved school and had lots of friends. Former veteran police officer Peter Ma was working as a freelance photographer at the Jewish celebration when he was killed. He's been remembered as one of the heart and soul figures of Randwick Rugby Club. The other victims include community leaders like Rabbi Yaakov Levitan and Rabbi Eli Schlanger, businessman Reuven Morrison, and French national Dan Elkiam, a talented and popular member of his football club. Holocaust survivor Alexander Clateman also died protecting his wife of 57 years.
This is a shocking, shocking act of violence, as we've said, and it needs to be met with an overwhelming government, community and police response.
New South Wales Premier Chris Minns has promised gun laws will change in the wake of the tragedy. He's considering recalling state parliament to make it happen.
They need to change and they can change. It does require legislation and it means introducing a bill to parliament to be really blunt, make it more difficult to get these horrifying weapons that have no practical use in our community. If you're not a farmer, if you're not involved in agriculture, why do you need these massive weapons that put the public in danger and make life dangerous and difficult for New South Wales Police?
Multiple investigations into the terrorist attack are underway.
Alexandra Humphreys reporting. George Newhouse is a human rights lawyer, a former mayor of the Waverley Council area in Sydney, which includes Bondi, and a member of Sydney's Jewish community. He spoke to me earlier.
Look, I'm gutted, and the whole community appears to be gutted. I've been down to Bondi twice today. The mood is incredibly sombre and flat. People are grieving and crying, and not just for those that have died and been injured by this brutal massacre, but also for the loss of innocence in Australia.
Do you think Bondi has been changed permanently by this, or do you think the locals will reclaim that great atmosphere down there of being able to go down to the beach for a walk or a surf or a swim or to celebrate an event as people were last night?
Look, Bondi is an iconic place. I believe it will come back, but we will never and we should never forget the lives that have been taken in this brutal massacre. Australians need to take note of what is happening and what happens when a particular community is consistently vilified. Jewish people in Australia have felt threatened and alienated and the subject of hate and threats over the past two and a bit years.
Do you think the rise of anti-Semitism in Australia over the last few years is solely connected to the war in Gaza?
I think there's a temptation to try and explain away this racism and anti-Semitism and hatred by reference to political differences or debates about the Middle East. But I think that misses the point. These are innocent Jewish people going about celebrating a festival of light and joy. And the right to live free from fear in this country should not depend on what people perceive to be their politics or their views on the Middle East or their religion. What goes on in the Middle East does not in any way and could never in any way justify the murder of innocent people, men, women and children, because of their religion.
Have governments been doing enough in Australia to counter anti-Semitism?
Look, what the Prime Minister said today is that, you know, the Bondi Beach massacre was an act of evil and anti-Semitic terrorism. I agree with him. And there's clearly some division in the community about how the government should respond and what should be done next. But I want to be very clear about this. I'm not playing politics with this tragedy. I don't think we should. We should be above that. And frankly, I don't like seeing Netanyahu getting involved in Australian politics either. What we need to focus on is the hate that Jewish people are experiencing here in Australia. Whatever your view on what's happening in the Middle East has nothing to do with the justification of slaughter of innocent people in Australia.
So what would you like to see done now, perhaps by governments, state, federal, as well as the local communities and individual Australians?
I think we need to come together. This is an open wound in our community. It's time for people of goodwill to come together and stop this violent and extremist talk and vilification of Jewish people. It's time for that to stop. And if the government needs to be a part of that process.
Is there anything, any concrete action that people can take?
Two things need to be done. First of all, the hatred that we're seeing in the media and in protests calling for violence against Jewish people or hatred of Jewish people needs to stop. And people of goodwill need to call it out and both on social media and in public. We also need the government to take steps to enforce race hate laws and vilification laws and ensure that the Jewish people are protected in this country.
George Newhouse is a former mayor of the Waverley municipality in Sydney, which includes Bondi. This is PM. I'm Samantha Donovan. You can hear all our programs live or later on the ABC Listen app. The Red Cross put out a call for blood donations today to help the victims of the Bondi terror attack. Its Lifeblood service says the response has been the biggest it's seen since the 2009 Black Saturday bushfires. Miwa Bloomer has this report.
For many, there's a sense of helplessness after the loss of life at Bondi Beach. And as they look for a way to help, they're lining up to donate blood in Sydney CBD. One of them is Bondi local Shannon Braun, who's expecting to wait up to 6 hours.
Well, I'm a Bondi local, so I happened to be out of the area at the time. I've been there well over 10 years, have friends in the community, both Jewish and non-Jewish, and just seeing everything that happened is really horrible. Even looking at the videos, you saw my kids' playground around the corner, like everything's familiar. It's just horrible what's happened, so I wanted to find a way to give back and kind of help the people that were impacted.
Sonia Laminchani from Nepal is also in line. It's the first time she's donated blood in Australia.
I just came down here to donate my blood because of the yesterday incident. We are terrified and all those people there, so I thought giving my blood could help someone's life and make impact on their life.
Back at Bondi Beach, the community came together to mourn. Rabbi Levi Wolf from the nearby Central Synagogue spent time speaking with politicians and community members.
I'd like to say to so many people who have been in the silent majority that right now it's time to speak up. There's no better time than now. I'd like to ask mothers and fathers to sit down with their children at the dinner table, teenagers when they're sitting with their mates, and people before they comment on social media to think what words mean, and when people themselves are careful about how they express themselves, hopefully that will help change the fabric of our community.
Rabbi Levi Wolf says the Jewish community will remain strong in the wake of this targeted attack.
The Jewish community is celebrating the holiday of Hanukkah right now, and it's the holiday of light that reminds us that our light will never be dimmed.
Many locals are gathering to lay flowers and console each other.
We've come down to show our support and solidarity and just love for the Jewish community. We're just absolutely heartbroken about what happened yesterday.
People working in local business have also been traumatised. Jade manages a cafe at the depot, only a few hundred metres away from where the attack took place.
We just wanted to bring the community together, so we've given free coffee all day to our community so they can sit down, grieve together, hug.
She says staff were keen to lend a hand.
So all the staff were here today, all the staff who were off were here gathering and helping out. A lot of community coming in and sitting down and just having a cup of tea, coffee, and just relaxing and hugging each other, sitting in silence. It's okay.
One of the cafe staff members, Sophie James, was at Ben Buckler, a famous rock at the north end of Bondi Beach, when the attack started.
We're having a barbecue for my friend's birthday, and we had what we thought were fireworks, because I guess it's so safe here that that's your first thought. I think if I was back home in London, I think I would have questioned it a bit more, but I was so sure there were fireworks and they...
Sophie and her friends saw the gunman from where they were standing. Once they felt it was safe, Sophie called her father in the United Kingdom and then made her way home.
So I was on the phone to him and just doing my usual walk, which was through everything, because they at that point hadn't closed it off because it had just happened. That was a mistake, and I think I was just in shock, and I think today as well, like I didn't sleep at all last night.
She says what she saw has scarred her.
I don't think I've really processed it because I live just behind and I walked, probably a silly thing to do, I wanted to get home, so I walked through everything. So I saw a lot. I kind of wish I didn't walk the way. I think I was in like flight or fight mode. I think that's what they say.
Sophie spent a day working at the cafe and is grateful to be surrounded by community.
I don't know what else I would be doing if I wasn't here. I probably would just be reliving it again and again. So at least here you're surrounded by people and everyone's here to comfort each other. It's such a community place. Like the best thing about working here is this is like my home away from home. I came to Australia on my own and I didn't know anyone. And these guys are like my family.
Miwa Bloomer filed that report from Bondi. The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, has announced a review into Australia's gun laws after the Bondi attack. Police have confirmed that gunman Sajid Akram had a firearms licence for the last decade and owned several guns. Angus Randall has more.
Six guns, bought and owned legally, used to strike terror on Bondi Beach. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is calling on the states and territories to introduce limits on how many firearms one person can own.
A review of licences over a period of time. People's circumstances change. People can be radicalised over a period of time. Licences should not be in perpetuity.
Footage of the Bondi attack shows more than 100 shots were fired in the final 6 minutes of the onslaught before Sajid Akram was shot dead and his son Naveed Akram was captured. ASIO investigated Naveed 6 years ago after concerns about his links to convicted Islamic State terrorist Isaac El-Matari. Anthony Albanese says Naveed cleared ASIO's concerns.
The son first came to attention in October 2019. He was examined on the basis of being associated with others, and the assessment was made that there was no indication of any ongoing threat or threat of him engaging in violence.
The Australian Federal Police says it's limited in what it can say as there's an active investigation underway. The Prime Minister has held National Cabinet this afternoon. Parliament is not due to sit until February, but Federal Liberal leader Susan Lee has called on the Prime Minister to recall Parliament early. Standing alongside Jewish leaders on Bondi Beach, she says anti-Semitism has been allowed to fester in Australia.
The government has been warned comprehensively and unequivocally about the rising tide of anti-Semitism in this country, and more importantly, what we could and should be doing about it. And action has not been taken.
Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Alex Rifchin usually attends the annual Hanukkah by the Sea at Bondi, only missing yesterday's event due to a bat mitzvah.
This destroyed whole worlds, and things will always be different for us. Things can't go back to normal. It's fundamentally changed this country. We've been changing incrementally, but something like this, there's no coming back from it.
Last year, the federal government appointed the country's first special envoy to combat anti-Semitism. Gillian Siegel handed down her report in July. The government is yet to respond in full.
I have laid out a blueprint in my plan of a whole series of actions that need to be taken, and I'm very hopeful that we've been making progress on some of those, but that the public sector and government's sector and government leaders will now approach that with new energy.
At least one of the victims is an Israeli citizen. Overnight, Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, blamed Anthony Albanese for the attack.
You did nothing to curb the cancer cells that were growing inside your country. You took no action. You let the disease spread. And the result is the horrific attacks on Jews we saw today.
Today, Anthony Albanese extended funding for Jewish groups to provide security to the community. He says his government has already been acting on Special Envoy Gillian Siegel's plan.
She recommended that legislation be strengthened to appropriately address anti-Semitism and hateful conduct vilification. We've done the following. We've criminalised hate speech, advocating violence. We've criminalised doxing. And we have a landmark ban on the Nazi salute and hate symbols.
In August, ASIO revealed Iran was behind at least two of the anti-Semitic attacks on a Jewish restaurant and a Melbourne synagogue, and was likely involved in others. In response, the federal government expelled the Iranian ambassador and listed the nation's Islamic Revolutionary Guard as a state sponsor of terrorism. In several of the other anti-Semitic attacks, no arrests were made. There's been no connection made between yesterday's attack and Iran.
Angus Randall with that report. So just to recap, the death toll from the Bondi terror attack now stands at 15 innocent people. They range in age from 10 years to 87. We understand that 38 people remain in hospital, including two police officers, and that heroic Sydney man, Ahmed El Ahmed, who disarmed one of the gunmen and was hit by gunfire soon afterwards. His parents, who are originally from Syria, have spoken of their son's bravery today. Now, around Australia, many people are distressed by the events in Sydney. If you feel like you need to speak to someone, please do call Lifeline. That number is 13 11 14. Thanks for joining me for this special episode of PM. I'm Samantha Donovan. The podcast of the full program is available on the ABC Listen app. And that's where you'll find ABC News Daily each weekday morning too. Their latest episode with Andy Park takes another look at the terrorist attack at Bondi Beach, including a look at whether authorities failed to heed the warnings. PM will be back at the same time tomorrow. Good night.